Luke 15 has three very famous little parables. They kind of run together. We're going to be looking at the first one and a little bit the second one this morning, and then looking at the final parable of Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son. We're looking at that tonight. Okay. Has everyone got there? Page 1049. It says this. We're going to focus on verse 1 to 7, but I'll read all the way through to verse 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Should we stand together for prayer right now and ask that God would meet with us in his word and that it would touch each one of us as we stand, if you're able. Heavenly Father, we stand in your presence. We come in your presence wanting to hear your word. Wanting not just to have read it, but to have taken it to heart, to have applied it, to have allowed it to change us. Lord, I ask this morning that you would give us your heart for people. Help us see others as you see them. And Lord, I pray for everyone here that we would know of your heart for us. That we matter to you, that you love us, that you loved us enough to die for us. And so, loving God, you who give all good gifts, pour out your gifts upon us now. Pour out your spirit upon me so that I could speak clearly your words, but Lord, upon us all, that we might do what you say. For we ask in the name of that great shepherd, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please take a seat. My wife Laura and I often, every week in fact, try and set aside time where we know as a priority that's time we're going to spend together. You know what it's like. Weeks get busy, and so we just make that a real priority in your lives. And just a little aside here to couples, make sure you're getting that time together, time in the same place where you can enjoy one another's company. And we often are in just doing things around the house, but this last Thursday, which is often a special night we have, this last Thursday, someone had given us cinema tickets, or they'd given us vouchers to go to the cinema. And so we decided, we don't often do this, we decided we'd go out, we got a babysitter in, and we went to see a film that's actually been nominated for about 10 Academy Awards. Don't know if you've heard about it in the news. It's called Slumdog Millionaire. Story about basically three street kids in the slums of what was Bombay, now Mumbai. And I have to say, I thought it's worth getting those Academy Awards. It was a very, very powerful film. And I think particularly having traveled to India myself and having grown up in Africa, as you see the lives of these kids and the mess, the mess of their lives, knowing that actually many, many, many children's lives, I'm going to talk a bit tonight maybe about street kids, but you know there's between 100 and 150 million of them around the world. And I was struck as I was watching this film, which talks about these three kids, okay? They're kids that you very quickly get drawn to. They're very lovable in many ways. But they end up, one of them is separated from the others. And the two kids spend a large proportion of the film, this is just one of the plot lines, don't worry, I'm not giving it all away. Just one of the plot lines is these two kids look for this other kid. For a large portion of the film, there's this sense of this one that mattered so much to them. They're trying to find. They're looking for. And you know, as you watch the film, you find that actually, not just does this third street kid matter to the other two, but you discover that they all start mattering to you too. Even though actually they're fictional characters. They start mattering to you too because you realize their lives are wonderful and diverse and special and that they matter to somebody. And as you see the way that they matter to one another, it makes you realize they matter to you a little bit as well. It's how you get caught up in the film. And what my prayer is this morning is that you and I will, just like that, get caught up in realizing that people matter to God. Street kids in the slums of Mumbai. People scattered around the globe, whether they're well off or not well off. People around Brighton and Hove that you see on buses. People who are here sitting right next to you. People matter to God. And that as we realize that people matter to God, we also will begin to get God's heart for people. To see them with the eyes that he sees. To see that they're precious and wonderful. And that they're worth looking for and searching for. Waiting for. That's my longing. In this message, you see this little episode that we've read in these stories is right at the heart of some of the most beautiful thing about Jesus. You know, I love Jesus. No surprise to you. I'm a pastor. But as I read these verses, look down with me here about Luke 15. Look at the beginning. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. I love this about Jesus, that people would crowd around to hear him. They love to just spend time with him. And I love the fact that it's sinners and tax collectors, because as we've so often say here, we're all sinners, aren't we? We're all people who realize our need, and we need to hear his voice, even this morning again, to hear what he's got to say to us. It's interesting, look back at the verse just beforehand in Luke 15, verse 35. It is fit neither for the soil nor the manure pile. It is thrown out. He talks about those who aren't salty for the kingdom. And so he then adds this last line, verse chapter 14. Are you there with me? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I said two Sunday evenings ago, it's one of Jesus' favorite phrases. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And remember, there's no chapter break in the original. So Luke just keeps writing and says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. Really, drawing this parallel. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, those who think they've got it all sorted and they're okay, they're the ones who mutter. They're muttering, not really listening. They're muttering, this man, Jesus, welcomes sinners and eats with them. Now, you've got to get into the context here of why this is such a big deal. Because for the tax collector, for the Pharisees, for these people who thought they were good and they were the ones that God loved, they looked at these sinners, these tax collectors, these people who'd kind of turned their back on the nation and gone in with the ways of the world, the ways of the Roman Empire. These tax collectors and sinners were seen as unclean. People that if you spent time with them, you could become unclean. If you associated with them, that you know that wasn't going to help you. And they're looking at Jesus, and maybe like you and I sometimes look at people and think, I don't know, you should be hanging out with those kind of people. They're looking at Jesus like that and thinking, Jesus, you shouldn't be hanging out with those kind of people. And Jesus uses the next three stories to speak to this group that are surrounding him, Pharisees and sinners, a combination. And he's speaking to show his heart for people. He's speaking to help them see that though they say that statement, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them, And they say, that is so bad. Jesus is going to show them that, you know that little statement? This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. That's actually right. That's a great description of what Jesus does. He welcomes us this morning, says, come, eat with me. In fact, he doesn't just welcome sinners and eats with them, he dies for sinners because he loves them so much. That's what we proclaim here. That's what we believe as we read through Scripture, that you can clearly see that God loves people so much that he gave his son. That's the gospel message. And we're going to see here, as we start looking into this little parable, that if just one is lost, it's worth searching for. If just one is lost, it's worth searching for. Look at Jesus in the parable. Verse 3, then Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Any of you have 100 sheep? So we'll just have to suppose. Suppose we did have 100 sheep. They belong to you. They matter to you. Every one of them. And Jesus says, suppose you have 100 sheep and one of them wanders off. Sheep have a tendency to do that. I can't relate pretty much to sheep, but I do have toddlers, and I've got two of them. I think they're both still toddlers. And toddlers have a sense of wandering off as well. That's something they love to do. And I know if one of them was safe and the other one had wandered off, that I would go looking for the other one. I want to find it because I know that like sheep get in danger if they're away from the shepherd, so toddlers away from their parents, it's not good. Is that right? See, I'm a great parent. No, that's a simple fact. But Jesus is telling this story, and actually, even though he doesn't even use the word shepherd, you notice that? Isn't that interesting? There's no word shepherd's not even in there. But he tells this story, and we instantly think of him, don't we? Because he is the good shepherd. That's maybe even as we just start this story, I want us to see first that he is the good shepherd. He is the one who's telling this story so that just like that context, people understand him, understand what he came to do. He is the good shepherd who has people who matter to him, who belong to him. In fact, people he's made. Each one of us, each one in the city, each one in those slums of Mumbai, all those street kids, all 100 million of them or however many, he knows them all by name. Every single one of them. And so as we read this passage, we see that when the one wanders off, look what happens. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when I read that, don't know much about being a shepherd, but the thought that came to mind was, would you leave the 99? Surely, you know, if they're a bit like toddlers, the danger is that another one of them is going to run off. You know, and maybe a wolf will come and something like that. And so I was wrestling with this, you know, would you leave the 99? And then I was also thinking, well, who are these 99? Who are the 99? Do you want to look down at the very end of verse 7 where Jesus helps us? He says this. He says, over one sinner who repents, then over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So I think, great, now I know who the 99 are. They're the righteous persons who do not need to repent. Right, let me think how many of those I know. Okay, it's not them either. Who are they? Who are these 99? Maybe it's a word challenging the Pharisees. Maybe it's with them in mind, but surely they need to repent. You see that? Is it the church? The majority of the church. But don't we need to keep repenting? Who are these 99? And as I was wrestling with these two questions, who are the 99 and won't they wander off, I realized that the main thing here is in the passage is actually not the 99. The 99 in the story, they're okay. They're safe. They're in the open field. I think by which it means they are, you know, they're not going to fall off a cliff or fall into a river or anything like that. People can see them. They'll be fine. And this other one that's wandered off, don't know where it is. And the focus in the passage is not the 99. The focus in the passage is the one. The one that's wandered. The one that even if it's just one, it's worth searching for. And so what does it say? He leaves the 99 and goes after the lost sheep until he finds it. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? There's this amazing sense in Jesus that just one is worth leaving the others for. And I guess one of the reasons I wrestled with this so much was actually the word pastor is a bit like being a shepherd. That's what the word comes from, pastor. It means like shepherd. And I guess I was wondering as I was reading this and really trying to, I do this as I try and prepare, I think, okay, how do I need to apply this in my life? And I was wondering, am I better abandoning everyone here and going after one of my friends who doesn't know Christ and spending the day with him today and tomorrow and the next day and all the days till I come back? Is that what this passage is telling me to do? You can now see why I was wrestling with that. Well, I don't think that's what it's saying. I think it's saying we should all go try reach my friend. That's what I think it's saying. Because I think it's not the church is the 99. I think the church is who? Who are the church? The body of Christ. So where are we in this passage? Where should we be in this passage if we really believe? We're the shepherd. We're in the shepherd. We're the ones who should be out there with him, joining him in what he's trying to do of reach people. In fact, as you go through these parables, it's amazing. They are connected. It's like there's Jesus in the first one. He's the good shepherd. And the last one, you've got the Father heart of God, the God, Father, Son. And who else do you think is probably looking for lost people? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's right. There's a sense even in the second parable that it's like the woman and the lamp. They're pictures almost of the Spirit in the church. Whether the church is the woman or that's the Spirit, or whether the lamp is the Spirit and the revelation. You know, there's these different kind of views. But basically, there's this sense in these books that, yeah, it's the Father heart of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and working through the church, which is the body of Christ, filled with the Spirit, that we're to be out looking for lost people. That's our calling. That's our heartbeat. That we should be in this parable doing this very thing. And I was thinking about this, and I often pray for many of you here on a Saturday night. I sometimes just take time to just look at some of your names on bits of paper and lists and things like that and just think, right, be with Adam and Rosie, be with John, Lord. And I think of others who maybe haven't been around so long, or you've been a visitor and you started coming. And I think, Lord, just pray that you bless them. A lot of what I'm praying is, Lord, help them be all that they could be in Christ. Help them know him more fully and follow him more closely. And the other day I was, yesterday I was here and I wasn't thinking about some of these lists. I was thinking about people who, you know, don't know God around us. And I was thinking, where can I find a list like that? That's probably the list I should be praying through. Well, I found a list like that. And I prayed through it all. No, I didn't. I have to say, I thought of it and I thought, wow, it's a long list. It's a long list. And I actually turned to the A's. And some of the names I couldn't pronounce. I tell you what, I was amazed how many Abduls and Abdullahs and things like that there are in our city. Amazed how many Adamses there are as well. Faceless names, but known to God. And we walk around and we see nameless faces. And they match. And they're all known to God. And we don't know whether some of them are far from God or close to him. We look around here and we don't even know fully where we are. But what we do know is that these names, every one of them, matters to God. A. Gray. A. Green. They matter to God. Do they know they matter to God? Do they know that he loves them? Do they know he's looking for them, waiting for them? Well, in the parable of the lost sheep, they know because the shepherd goes after them. And how is Jesus going to go after people in this world. He's going to use his body, his church, through which his Spirit's at work, to go out and let these people know that they matter to him. Now, we believe that church isn't the service, it's the people. It's the body of Christ. So I thought we should get really practical right now, because otherwise if we just come and do a service and be it, we've missed the point of this completely. So there are a number of ways we could do this. We could all leave right now and head in, just try and find people who don't know God and tell them the love of God. But actually, though that could be a better thing to do than us just sitting here doing nothing, I think there's something even better we could do. And that is to think this week, what could I do amongst the people that God's put around me to help them see they matter to God? What could I do this year? What could I plan so that people would see that they matter to God? You see, here's the thing. You matter to God. I matter to God. Your neighbors matter to God. Your colleagues matter to God. The young people of this city matter to God. The seniors in this city matter to God. The international students in this city matter to God. Those in Wales and those in India and those in Africa, they matter to God. And you and I need to be carriers of this message to others. So let's plan. Let's plan right now and think, what could we do this week? What could we do this week to help people see that? So I've got a little piece of paper that I'd love the ushers, to stewards, just to give out to people now. And this is us getting really practical. There's something on this bit of paper for everyone. There's two sides to it. One side is your way. You can connect with people maybe even this week or on a weekly basis, even right now. It might be even this afternoon. There's something that from this bit of paper, you're going to prompt you and think, what am I going to do? If God loves lost people, if God loves, and one of my prayers at the end of this message is going to be that God gives you a heart and his eyes and heart for the people around you. How can I be showing that and demonstrating them? So one side, I've got it here, says engaging right now with people. Okay, and we're going to take time in this service to fill this bit of paper out. It's something for everyone on this. So if you're a visitor, you can just say, I'm visiting Brighton. This is on the other side. But please pray for my hometown or church of such and such. So even if that's just you, you're just literally passing through, you can just put your name on the back there and say, this is my hometown, please pray for it. So one side is this week, okay? Engaging right now with people. The other side is setting aside time this year in some of the things that we do as a church, whereby it might be that you actually take a day off. You say, this business of reaching people who are far from God, people who are who don't know God, that is so important to me that I'm going to take time out. I'm going to set aside a day or a week, and I'm going to do this as effectively as I can. Many pews have got pens in them. It's a great thing about pews. They can have pens in front of them. People in this red chair there, if you don't have a pen, you can just raise your hand, and some of the stewards will bring one to you. But here's what I want us to do. I want us to take the next 5 minutes of this service to look through this. Look, just let me just run you through it briefly here. Alpha is the first thing mentioned. Tim said it's this week, this Tuesday. We've got flyers that are going to be wasted after this week. You know, Alpha Supper is a place where the hall is usually packed. There's a great layout. Almost everyone, I think without exception, who's walked into that place is surprised by how good it's all decked out and looks and the band. And they think, this is amazing. I didn't realize it would be like this. So invite people. Come yourself. Maybe you're here and you are a visitor. You are someone who just needs to hear again that you matter to God, that God is real. Maybe you've not, you wouldn't say you're like someone who's found God yet. Come along to Alpha. There's a place you can just say, I would like to come along to the Alpha Supper. But there's also a place just after that where you can say, I would like to bring a friend. I had a great opportunity this week just to speak to someone, and I wasn't expecting them to be as excited about coming as they were. So pray for my friend. Pray that he would be able to come. But you'd be amazed at people's openness at the moment. There's another suggestion I've got here, and that is that you might be thinking, well, David, that's great for you and your friends who live local, but I work in London. I work in Chichester. You know, they're not going to come to an Alpha in Brighton on a Tuesday evening. Well, have you ever thought about taking Alpha to them? There's a great little thing called Workplace Alpha. It's a shortened version. And when I worked at an engineering firm in Shoreham, we gathered together as Christians in the company, and we used to put on events for us to invite our friends to right there at lunchtime at the place where we worked. And it might be that you can actually right now think, you know what, I can at least find out what those resources are. You just need to tick that. And one of us on the team here, one of the staff team, will contact you with some of the information about it. And you can look at it and see, will this work? Or is there something else I could try and do? So that's Alpha. But it also has some things there about during the week. You see, because during the week, we do a whole ton of things as a church, not just Sundays, that are trying to reach out to people around us. We do things for parents and toddlers. We do things for children. We do things for youth, for nursing homes, for seniors. We go out on the streets and give people teas and coffees and invite them to things and tell them that they matter to God. And I tell you what, all of those are great things to get connected with. And if you're thinking, yeah, I'd like to do more of this reaching out, then tick one of them and say, yeah, I'd be interested in finding out more information about getting involved in one of those areas. I'm pretty confident that all of those would be appreciative of more help. So again, just have a look. You know, you might think, well, David, I couldn't come to the Alpha Supper. I'm a mom. I've got these kids and I couldn't find a babysitter. Well, you could maybe help out with the parents and toddler thing. So there's something here for everyone. Look on the other side, though. This is setting aside time. We do these kind of intense missions, which are a bit like saying, right, let's put down tools and pick up other tools and go out and really search for people who don't know God and spend time with them and connect with them. So we do that with Holiday Club. We have a time when we, February half term, we just say we're going to work together to make people who are far from God, children who don't know God, or just welcome in our place, have fun. And what we do is this was the one last year, there's Mike. The kids all love it. The parents come along on Sunday, they love it. We thought this year we'd kind of extend it a little bit and actually say that it's not just going to be what's going on in the building here, but we'll try and serve the local schools at the same time. So if you're thinking, well, I'm available in this February half term, I could help out, then tick there that you'd like to help out the schools and someone will get in touch with you. And it might not just be that they do stuff in the schools, they might go out on the streets as well at the same time, because it's a week we're on mission. So that's February. There's some other things here. I've put the dates next to them and even costs where there are costs. So Wales is an amazing opportunity. We've been involved in this for about 10 to 15 years now, you know, in varying ways. But there's a sense that God is at work in Wales. And just personally, some of the most thrilling moments of my life have come there with people, often young people on estates in Wales, often really beat up places. And just seeing young boys give their hearts to Christ, these kind of teenagers who think they're really tough, and then they start hearing about how Jesus died for them, and they just melt. They say, I want that. And then their friends start saying that. I tell you what, if you want a thrilling beginning to the summer, come on the Wales weekend. Not the weekend, the whole week. You can come for the week, or you can come for a day or two of it. But please, if you're even interested in that, just tick that there. But we did this thing called Hope 09 again. Hope 09 was a time where we, in Brighton, we just did practical things, reached out, went on doors, told people that God loves them, put on events for them. We did this kind of choir from scratch. Again, really powerful. And we're going to do it again. So the dates are there. Think even now in this moment, could I be part of that? India. Got a trip going to India I think it's the October half term. And the dates are there. That's more expensive. But I tell you what, God's doing stuff in India. And these kids, these faces you see, Dalit children, they matter to God. There's some things not on here. Unreached nations. Not just people who have lost whole nations that don't know about God. Places like Somalia. Not put it on there yet. I don't think we're ready to go, but I hope we will one day. But I think by doing these, we'll be more ready. And while you just take time now to fill this in, there's going to be some music playing and a little PowerPoint presentation about Somalia. So let that inspire you to get cracking with what you can do immediately, okay? So just take time, grab that bit of paper, pray about it. Let your heart be stirred by God's heart for people. And think about the people you know. These are going to be people on the screens you don't know. If you want to have a heart for them, keep having a heart for those around you. So over to Maria and take time, please. We're going to collect these up before the end of the message. So please, everyone, there's something here for you. Pray about it. Just even if you're just thinking, I think I may like to go to Wales or India, but I'm not sure and I need to look into it. I want more information. That's just take that. That's fine. This isn't you saying, I will definitely come. But it's saying, yeah, I'd like to do that. You can tick more than one thing on here as well. So, okay, Maria. Thanks. We've just got a few moments.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private.
There's hope because Jesus came and died for every one of those people. And I could see as I was watching that and watching you, I could see that moves us, doesn't it? It moves us because we thought we were going to have a hard year. And we know actually there's people who are having a far harder year. Moves us because we're pretty sure that those people don't have a church to go to. And it moves us because in us, we want to be kind of heroes, don't we? We want to actually go straight there tomorrow. But you see, to go there would require you to pretty much be willing to give up everything you had and accept that you may get killed. And so I think a great first step for us and for me is to make sure that I'm bold enough to go speak to my neighbor. Make sure I'm willing to give up a Tuesday night or a Wednesday morning. Make sure I'm willing to give up a day's holiday. And let those things in me, as I do them, give me a heart for people that means that actually when it comes to that time, and I believe it will come to that time where for not just a few, I hope, but for many of us here, to go searching for those that are lost, to tell them God loves them, when that costs us potentially our lives, we think that's okay. God was with us in that little sacrifice there or here. We can do that. Be okay. He saved us. And to realize that those things are worth it, we've got to finish the parable. You see, we've got to finish the parable that says, look with me in verse 5, and when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. And he goes home and he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And the theme is repeated in each of these parables. Look at verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. If just one is worth searching for, then just one is worth celebrating. Just one in Wales, or an alpha, or one young person, or one in India, or one in Somalia. One coming to know Christ is worth celebrating. One turning from their sins. One here this morning. You came knowing you were a sinner at a distance with God, and you leave having turned round and say, Jesus, thank you for saving me. I turn to you. I come back with you to be part of the family of God. Just one, it's worth celebrating. You know, there was some amazing parties this week. In fact, whole kind of the world had their eyes on just one man this week as he had party after party thrown for him. And you probably saw some of these pictures. You'd have had to have been on probably a different planet if you didn't. That was, I think it's called the Washington Mall or something like that. And it was 2 million people, I think, come for the inauguration of this man here. And, you know, I was just thinking, those who probably helped him get to the place where he is and those that were celebrating, you know, I think most of them would have thought, man, this is it. You know, it was great to be part of this. Great for him to be part of it. It was just one man they were celebrating. And just one man doing something for a few years. Whereas I think, because there's nothing in the Bible about there being huge celebrations in heaven when a new leader comes on the scene or a new world leader or something like that. No huge celebrations that go on except when Jesus is born. But there is these celebrations after celebration after celebration, which I think, because I kind of believe there's a lot of angels and that heaven's pretty big, I think we're probably bigger than the parties in Washington. I think there's a party that's gone on for you, and you might have never realized it's bigger than the one for Obama and on a cosmic scale as well, that went on over your life, Annie and Dave, Adam and Rosie, Margaret and Graham, and just here, if you've turned to God, that went on for you. A party, and I'm talking like a real party. As we go through the thing tonight, you'll see there's dancing, there's food, there's feasting. Let's celebrate. It's a real party. A real party for one person, for you, for me. And here's the thing, for that friend of ours and that person you've never met, who you work three desks down and you just never had a conversation with them, but you know that they matter to God too. There's a party waiting for that person when they turn and come back into the family of God, because just one, if just one is found, it's worth celebrating. And here's the thing about both of these. It's just one that's lost or just one that's found. All these things are worth it. So I'm looking at us here and I'm thinking, surely each one of us could reach one. Each one reaching one. Surely that is worth it. Even if it's not this week that it happens, that we just start trying to do that this week in more of a way. Or we continue what we have been doing. But we say, this life of mine, I want it to be about trying to reach people for God, to help them see this Jesus Christ and bring them to what will be the best moment in their lives. They look back through all eternity, the moment when we don't kind of just begin to get interested or step into a church building. That's not the moment when the celebration breaks out. You know, let's not break open the champagne too early here. When does the celebration start? Look back at Luke 15. When one sinner repents and they turn around. When they admit they're a sinner, like we were looking at 2 weeks ago, when they say, God, I need you, I want to come back. When that happens, I tell you what, you can sometimes feel the joy in heaven, because like when you're part of Alpha and someone gives their life to Christ and turns around, or when you go on Wales Mission or you go to India and you get involved in Hope Online and someone gives their life to you, you can like, there's hardly anywhere more exciting to be on the face of the earth than being in those places where people are turning to God. I tell you what, that's reason alone to sign something on that bit of paper and say, I want to be part of this and be involved in these opportunities where people are being caught back into the family of God. And so, we're going to end by collecting up these forms. And you might have got so busy watching that thing, you forgot to fill your form in. I tell you what, that would be a tragedy. What would be even worse is if you forgot to do anything about it. If I forgot to do anything about it. So we're going to have another song, just a moment, that says, you can even join in singing with it, because some of you will know it's a Kate Simmons song that says, when I was lost, you came and rescued me. It's got a bounce, it's got some upbeatness to it, because this is the party bit, okay? This is it, coming up to the end of the message. But we're going to collect in all these cards somewhere, maybe even many places on this thing. There's going to be something that you think, yeah, I can be involved in that. Even with like the Wales and the Hope 09 and some of these things, what they need is people to serve a cup of tea. Can anyone here do that? People to pray. Can anyone here do that? You know, I sometimes wonder, who is praying for all the parents and toddlers who come into our buildings week by week? Who's praying for people who are coming here week by week and getting served by the church? That they would know that God loves them and they matter to him. Could you do that? If you think you could maybe do that, just tick during the week, parents, babies, and toddlers. And that might be a way you can serve as part of that. So here's where we're going. Each of us, I believe, has a part to play. If you're just visiting, literally just say that. Don't forget to put your name and your preferred contact so we can help get people in the right places here. I'm hoping this is going to mobilize us to get involved and get connected. We're going to have this song. As we do that, fill in your card. We're going to get it picked up. And then I'm going to pray after that we would have God's heart for people as we leave. And then Tim's going to come up and lead us in a final song. So let's have the CD. Get your pens, make sure you've done that. If you've finished it, kind of wave it around so the ushers know to pick it up and pass them along to the end of the row. Make sure you just had a look at that and you thought, yeah, what can I do? What's my part in this? If you're already involved in Holiday Club or any of these things, tick that and say, I'm already involved. Praise the Lord. It's great to be part of it. If you know the words, you can sing along. Father, we just thank you for your love that you came and sought each one of us. Maybe some here, you're still seeking us, Lord. May we all know with real certainty that we matter to you. And now, Father, we dare to pray this dangerous prayer. Father, please give us your heart for people. Please, God, give us eyes to see people as you see them. Please, God, help us as we join you in this wonderful work of searching out those who are far from you and helping them come back and taste and know something of this celebration, this joy of being part of your family, God. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Amen.